chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass may dab in the middle of it. Grass may dab in the middle. We are grass may dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to start off with James O'Keefe, head of Project Veritas, is interviewing Morgan Kallman, who recently started whistleblowing about Facebook and their algorithms on vaccine hesitancy postings. And here we go with that, and then we're going to follow that with an excellent interview of the same individual, Morgan Kallman, by Alex Jones, a more in-depth interview. So here we go first with the Project Veritas interview.
Policy is going to keep expanding until anything can violate it. What would happen if this was scaled larger and scaled to Twitter and the internet as a whole is way worse than anything that could happen from me getting fired from my job. To me, that it far outweighs that, because it's more about more than me. It's about it really everyone in the world.
It's almost like you're saying that your desire to follow your conscience outweighs any potential risk there might be to you.
Yeah.
From doing this.
Yes. I think that's also the main reason why people don't want to come out with it. Because what if I have two kids. I have, my wife. And if I lose my job, it's like, what do I do? But that's less of a concern to me.
What do you think will happen as a result of your going public?
It's going to lead to a general distrust in the general public of Facebook even more than there already may be. And I think that a lot more people are going to be concerned about what's going on behind the scenes on their social media platforms.
Why don't you start by telling us what happened yesterday?
All right, so what happened yesterday was I was at work and I got a message from my supervisor. Out of the blue, basically saying, go ahead and wrap up your area and clean up your stuff, gather your personal belongings, and meet me in a meeting room in the lobby of the building. They're basically going to have me meet with the investigative team and grill me on this whole situation. Facebook uses classifiers in their algorithms to determine certain content to be what they call vaccine hesitant, or they call it vaccine hesitancy, and without the user's knowledge, they assign a score to these comments that's called a VH score, the vaccine hesitancy score. And based on that score, we'll demote or leave the comment alone, depending on the content within the comment.
Our Facebook insider is a data center technician who leaked us multiple internal documents detailing an algorithm test being run on 1.5% of Facebook and Instagram's nearly 3.8 billion users worldwide. The goal? To, quote, drastically reduce user exposure to vaccine hesitancy in comments.
You'll see a lot of this difference in their public policy versus the private policy, where the public policy is very vague, it's very ambiguous, it's designed to be questioned. Because right. It's designed to be able to easily defend. But then if you look at the private policy, it's much more clear, much more specific. I think that they're trying to make it seem like they're not doing as much, or that they're just kind of like generalizing it, like, oh, well, we just have some robot that just tags your post and then, we look at it. But I think they don't want people to know, oh, no, we actually have something that we made specifically for vaccine hesitancy. So basically when they write this algorithm, it goes through Facebook content and it looks for certain keywords that are related to vaccination or, not getting a vaccine and stuff like that. And it gives it a score, and the VH score means vaccine hesitancy, which is defined as being hesitant to get a vaccine, but not just like, well, I don't know. It's even, well, I saw a study that said that someone died that got the vaccine. That's vaccine hesitancy.
So this is a beta test. This is all a beta test.
Right, right.
And how big is this beta test?
They refer to the test size as 1.5%. I'm not exactly which pool that pulls from, but I think it's comments on authoritative health pages.
You seem to think that they've already rolled this out. Why do we believe they've already rolled this out?
In one slideshow that they have, they call it their weekly progress tracker.
Mm-hmm.
They actually lay all this out in a chart, and you can see it, you can look at the slides. They go by date. So we've got here COVID-19 vac safety and efficacy global, currently global, 13 languages, Facebook plus Instagram. All C19 vaccine global, currently global, 66 languages. And the very first thing that brought me to the conclusion that they wanted to do this globally is they were developing it in, like, you know, as many languages as they could get their hands on.
So this is like a product launch almost. Facebook.
Yeah. In their last quarterly report, they reported 2.79 billion people on Earth use some kind of Facebook app.
According to these documents, Facebook tiers users 0 to 5 and a score 0 to 1. Can you talk a little about this tier system?
Yeah, so basically this is what they're using to structure how they're going to judge this content on a scale to how vaccine hesitant it actually is, or if it's explicitly discouraging. In my opinion, the main reason why they built this was for the human, what they call raters, so that they can use this as a reference when they... So if the algorithm can't make a decision on a certain post, it'll send it to a human rater. And then the human rater looks at it, and they will make a decision on whether or not it's vaccine hesitant or not.
So we have tier 2, indirect discouragement. And what happens when you are a tier 2?
Basically, your comment is going to be suppressed. As to the scale of that suppression, it's hard to say. We have to look at it like a case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're saying is it's going to get, they call it a position change. On some of these comments, you can see it'll say position change 7. And I'm not sure whether the 7 refers to like a 7% or if it's just like 7 positions down in the comment chain.
So it's suppressed.
Yes.
We don't know the extent of the suppression.
Right.
And we've heard shadow ban. We've heard deboost. I have not heard position change. Facebook has not been shy about combating vaccine hesitancy, as reported in their own press release dated May 11th of this year. However, what they say publicly in their own policy doesn't scratch the surface of what is written in these internal leaked documents. If I read this correctly, Facebook is saying it doesn't matter if the story is true so long as it doesn't cause people to hesitate getting the vaccine. What's your read on this?
The borderline vaccine framework, shocking stories, potentially or actually true events or facts that can raise safety concerns.
That post was done by a user, and they've taken a screenshot and observed it
yes.
as part of the tier system.
Right, yeah.
What about this gives them alarm?
How is this not scary? That would be considered indirect discouragement.
Indirect discouragement, which should be considered tier 2.
Right.
So this is an example of indirect discouragement of the
yep.
vaccine.
Questioning the vaccine, questioning anything involving the vaccine.
And this was then demoted on Facebook. So this is another example of tier 2 indirect discouragement. Why don't you tell us why this would be indirect discouragement according to Facebook?
So this would be considered vaccine hesitant because they don't want people to see someone had a bad effect. They're not saying don't get the vaccine, but they're saying look at all this negative stuff that happened after I got the vaccine.
So they're reporting facts, but truth doesn't matter.
No, because it doesn't match the narrative. So,
interesting.
And the narrative being get the vaccine. The vaccine is good for you. Everyone should get it. And if you don't, you will be singled out.
Right.
As an enemy of society.
From the internal document, content pointing to the vaccine adverse effects reporting system, data that suggests extreme risk without providing full context. Full context.
Mm-hmm.
What do they mean by that?
I think so, like in the previous comments, like she said, during this study, 653 people died, and then they don't put the rest of the study in there. It's like, okay, so you want me to write like a 10-page comment?
Right.
What's full context?
What is
another ambiguous term? If they saw a study from someone they didn't like, would they say, well, that's not the full context because A, B, C, D, E, F, G?
Ultimately, it seems like any facts that escape a particular narrative are omitted, demoted, deboosted,
absolutely.
Banned,
yes.
considered dangerous to society.
Suppressed in any way possible.
Where do you think this is headed? Does it get worse from here?
Yes.
How so?
I think people accept it, and they see people like Twitter, Facebook, Google, and stuff like that. They see that this is accepted by the public, and then they go, that's like a green light, to be like, oh, well, we can go ahead and do this more. So not only are we going to start doing vaccine stuff, we're going to spread it to everything. So we're going to start saying, if you make a post that could put somebody in danger, or it could compromise someone's safety, whatever that means, then we're going to go ahead and look at that and assign that a score of some unknown classifier. Who knows what it could be? We're trying to control this content before it even makes it onto your page, before you even see it and when you're scrolling on your phone. I think they're afraid of what people would conclude.
And do you think there's a lot of people inside Facebook that agree with you, or some
yes.
percentage? What would you
yes.
estimate that number of people to be?
I would say at least 25%.
So you're telling me that 25% of the people there agree that what they're doing with this vaccine hesitancy coding and algorithms is morally wrong?
Yes, that would not surprise me at all.
And the people who may do what you did next, but they're not sure if they should do it, what's your message to those people?
I would say go ahead and do it. And then just think about what I said. There's a lot of blowback to telling the truth, and that's true as far as human history is concerned. And yeah, you are going to receive blowback, but just weigh it out. Can you live with yourself for the rest of your life if you work at Facebook and you knew about this, especially if it came out later? And you're like, man, I saw that so many times, and I could have said something, and I didn't. How are you going to feel about that? That's my thing, my morality. I have to show somebody this, because at least, even if nothing were to come of this, and for some reason everything was scrapped, I would still think that it was worth it, because I'm like, well, at least I tried. I tried to show somebody this.
Morgan Coleman is stating in there that 25% of the people in Facebook are in sympathy with his view. And so that's quite a large margin. Now, coming up next is a more in-depth interview of Morgan Coleman by Alex Jones. Here we go next with that.
Well, Morgan Coleman is one of the big whistleblowers, insiders at Facebook that went public with these documents from this year where they are beginning to go after even, quote, truthful statements. We're going to show you some of those documents concerning COVID-19, the vaccines, all of it. And Tucker Carlson had him on last night. Again, he did protect his identity, but he decided yesterday to go ahead and go public, and he's there at the Project Veritas headquarters, it looks like. So we're going to be going to him on the other side of this short segment. But I wanted to air the Tucker Carlson piece. We salute him for going public, and this is the Achilles heel of these deceptive megacorporations, is the truth is coming out because of insiders. Here it is.
Earlier this week, James O'Keefe and Project Veritas did this country yet another public service. They obtained internal documents from a whistleblower at Facebook. The whistleblower explained that Facebook automatically flags comments that express any concern about the coronavirus vaccine.
Facebook uses classifiers in their algorithms to determine certain content to be what they call vaccine hesitant. They call it vaccine hesitancy, and without the user's knowledge, they assign a score to these comments that's called a VH score, vaccine hesitancy score. And based on that score, we'll demote or leave the comment alone, depending on the content within the comment.
According to those documents, here's one example of what Facebook considers a tier one vaccine hesitancy comment. Quote, if the vaccines are so useful, then why do we still need to wear a mask or social distance afterward? Fair question, but not allowed. Morgan Coleman is the whistleblower who exposed all of this. He's been suspended from his job at Facebook. He joins us now. Morgan, thanks so much for coming on and for your bravery. It sounds like any real questions at all about the vaccines are not allowed by Facebook.
Yeah, Tucker, that's true. Basically, with the way that they set this up is that anything that questions the vaccine or the narrative regarding the vaccine, which is, you know, everyone should get the vaccine and, you know, the vaccine is good and you're not going to have very many bad side effects. Anything outside of that realm is basically considered under vaccine hesitancy by Facebook's algorithms.
Is there any motive that you can understand? Like, why would they want to ban people from asking honest questions or reporting real side effects?
Well, honestly, Tucker, I think that they're afraid of what people might conclude if they see that other people are having negative side effects, and they think that this is going to drive up vaccine hesitancy among the population, and they see that as something that they have to combat. But honestly, I think that that is not something that basically. My moral compass says that is not the right thing to do, because basically the users at Facebook are not aware that this is going on. And if you're using Facebook or a social platform and they're censoring the content of your comments unbeknownst to you, I think that's highly immoral.
It is highly immoral. So is that so? It, I mean, you are willing to lose your job, and it sounds like you have or will, for coming forward. Is that why you came forward?
Yeah, I believe that any consequences that are bestowed onto me by Facebook as a result of this leak and these documents that I've leaked to Project Veritas, I think any of those consequences don't really weigh much when it comes to having to live with myself and ask myself the rest of my life, you know, I saw these documents and I had the opportunity to, you know, show the public this and what's going on behind the scenes, and I didn't do it. And so I wouldn't be able to live with myself after that.
I consider that heroic. This country used to consider whistleblowing heroic. Have you been treated as a hero?
Among the close company I have now, yes. As for Facebook, they decided to suddenly tell me to stop my work one day while I was at work, call me into a meeting with my supervisor and a security guard. They removed all my company equipment from me, my company laptop, company cell phone, and my badge, my access badge. They walked me out to my car and basically informed me that they would be having an investigatory meeting with me at a later date, which they actually...
All right, now Facebook has responded. It's like, oh, we told our employees this isn't secret. But, of course, it is secret, as all criminal activities are. They're really out of control. They're now censoring Congress when they have hearings about this. And members of Parliament in Australia. Stay with us. We'll talk to this man straight ahead. So, the president of Microsoft, Brad Smith, of all people, says life will be like Orwell's 1984 by 2024 if AI is allowed to surveil us and control us. Well, it's already 1984 for 3 million users of Facebook, and new internal documents a few days ago came out. Project Veritas, with two whistleblowers, and one of them, Morgan Common, has gone public before he was just blacked out in the studio to protect his identity. But they went ahead and called him in and discovered and figured out who had dared mention the guidelines, the orders, that anything true event or a fact where someone's been hurt by a vaccine or has questions or is telling people that they have a right to basically not be forced to do it, anything critical in any way is not allowed. But, of course, they didn't want you to know that. A member of Parliament in Australia a few weeks ago who said that you shouldn't have forced inoculations, he's banned on Facebook. Facebook's now announced that anyone that questioned the election results in Congress, which the Democrats did 4 years ago, 5 years ago for Biden, that they won't be allowed to engage in political activity on Facebook, including Senator Ted Cruz. So the tyranny is here. It's not coming. But I love their response that, oh, this wasn't secret. We let employees know about it. But if they talk about it to anybody, they're fired. Morgan Common joins us. GoSendGo.com/expose. Facebook, everybody needs our support who's doing this. This is the real war, and people tell them the truth of the frontline soldiers. So this is one of the biggest censorship stories ever. It's incredible. Thanks for joining us, Morgan. This is just broke in the last 48 hours, and I guess you've just been discovered recently as the pro-human mole inside Facebook. Give us your gestalt of what's happening and other points you'd like to add. Basically, you've got the floor.
All right. Thank you, Alex. So basically, after Facebook saw the story where I came out and my identity was hidden, I went back to work after I got back from producing that story. And I was working, and they basically said, hey, we need you to stop all your work and immediately come bring all your personal stuff and all your work equipment to this meeting in a conference room. So I did as I was told and went up there and went to the room. I got a security guard and my main supervisor there. They informed me that I was under investigation. They took my employee access badge. They took my laptop. They took my phone, my work laptop and my work phone, and basically said, yeah, you know, and they put me on the phone with a third-party representative who was in contact with Facebook, who informed me, yes, you're under investigation. We're going to file a request for a meeting on this date. And then I was like, okay, sounds good. And then the security guard walked me out to my car. And, you know, after that is when I decided to go public.
What do you make of their public response to it? I've got the quotes here. Talk about Orwellian. They're like, oh, this is no big deal. We tell employees we do this. There's nothing happening here.
Yeah, I honestly expected this response from them. A lot of times their public, well, most of it, their public policy and their private policy is written very differently. Their public policy is written in a way that is, it makes it very easy to defend. It's very ambiguous. It's very flip-floppy and smoky.
And that way, if it's questioned, they can just come up with you know, whatever the new term of the day is to say, well, this is just reducing harm and we're just helping people out. But internally, things are much more specific. Obviously, you know, you look at these documents and they have very specific things on here, and they know exactly what they're doing. And yeah.
And now here you are sitting in Project Veritas Studios, I guess, in New York. This has been quite a week for you, hasn't it?
Yeah. Very little sleep. It's kind of surreal for me, but I know that despite all the hardships I'm going through now, this has to get out. You know, people had to see this. I couldn't really – not releasing this does not align with my moral compass. There's no way that I could have not released this and lived with myself. And, I mean, this is not just about me. It's not just about the United States. It's not just about Facebook. It's about the entire world. These people really are creating a model and have created, really, a model that's live right now. They've created a model that – for vaccine hesitancy now, but this could actually expand to include really any topic. And I think that maybe it will still, but had I not come out with this, it certainly would have.
Well, we know that there's similar systems. We know during the election they were blocking pro-Trump stuff. What else did you witness while you were inside Facebook?
So one thing that was kind of disconcerting is when I actually discovered this document, it was posted on an internal social media platform that Facebook uses called Workplace. And the comments from the people who have access to that internal platform were actually, there was a lot of positive comments saying, this is very exciting. I'm very glad that we can do this. I've even seen employees make complaints like, hey, I got an anti-vaccine or a vaccine hesitant post put in my recommendations. I want this to be fixed, please. And but as far as like, you know, water cooler conversations and around the office, you know, personal conversations with people in person, they seem to be against censoring this kind of thing, and they think that everyone should be able to make their own choice because it is a personal choice. So it's kind of concerning.
There are so many different facets to this, so many angles. Imagine this is your chance, like talking to 5 million people last night, Tucker Carlson, probably 2 million people conservatively are tuned in right now. What else do you want the public to know?
I want the public to know that I'm just a normal person. I come from a town that has way less than 10,000 people in the middle of nowhere. And just because you don't have notoriety, just because you're not, you know, you don't think that you're a somebody, doesn't mean that if you have access to information like this that could help people that you can bring it out. You can definitely bring it out. There are people like Project Veritas. You can go to veritastips@protonmail.com. They will help you out. They do this kind of thing for, you know, this is one of their sticks, you know, and they will take care of you. There's a lot of people that are on your side. You know, it's the silent majority, but it's really hard for the average person because of the consequences. I mean, Facebook is a very, very powerful company. You know, they're not even really beholden to, you know, the U.S. government. So,
well, absolutely. The U.S. government, I'm sure you saw the news that members of Congress that were going to have a 10-day investigation, which is totally legal. Again, Democrats did it 5 years ago. They challenged Trump's election, if you remember, and tried to not even get the delegates to be seated. They're trying to say anybody that was trying to hold a vote on January 6th before the riot, that they don't get to be political or promote themselves on Facebook. I mean, that's directly interfering in our election.
Yeah, it's totally Orwellian, and I think that the comparison by the Microsoft CEO to 1984, yeah, that's certainly correct. And I think that what they're trying to do, you know, this, they know the power they're wielding, and I think a lot of times too, with especially with the internal employees and the software engineers, they take advantage of people's good nature, where then they try to say, you know, you guys are helping out and the world needs this and you guys are heroes. And one of their stated goals, even in one of the documents, says that they want people to know that they did this and then they want to take credit for their work. And I think that if people need to, you know, go in and see these kind of things, and they need to follow their more moral compass and say, yeah, even though I'm an exec at Facebook, this is wrong and we should not be doing this. And if, you know, you receive opposition, make it public.
Morgan Common is a major whistleblower. We really appreciate him joining us. We got one more segment with him. How do people reach out to you? How do other IT companies that might want you to work with them who are moral, how do people reach out to you for employment, or how do people reach out to you for interviews?
All right, if you guys want to reach out for me for interviews, the best way to do that and fastest would probably be just to go through Project Veritas. You can contact them on their website. And then if you want to support me personally, we set up a fundraiser on givesendgo.com/exposefacebook. And you can go there and donate there. And then I also included some cryptocurrency links to some addresses in there you can use as well.
Well, it's important to build our own community and to support and celebrate people that expose the criminal activity of Facebook. I mean, They're not going to like this information coming out. They're not very happy right now because they say right here, we want to suppress the truth, true events and facts. That is amazing.
Yeah, I have a feeling that they're scrambling, damage control mode right now.
How do you think Facebook got to be the most powerful? I think more powerful than Google, more powerful than Apple, hands down, worldwide, involving all these elections, politics, telling countries what they can and can't do. I mean, who died and made Mark Zuckerberg God?
I think that, honestly, Mark Zuckerberg had his own ideas in the beginning, and yeah, he's still a part of it now, so he's certainly not to escape blame. But I think that this is something that has grown way out of his control. I think there's a group of people behind the scenes that are, you know, kind of like a board or something that are making all the calls and stuff like that. And,
bingo! You know, exactly. Just like Henry Ford was one thing, and then another group took over his foundation. It's the same thing. Gates took over IBM's foundation. Most folks don't know that through his mother. You have the Southern Poverty Law Center and other groups that are now taking over the board of Facebook and are in control. So the left is in control. Of a 3 billion person army they could influence, bully, and control in a giant brainwashing gulag. We've got a lot of news on that as well coming up. We've got major whistleblower Morgan Common. Stay with us.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
You know, we got some big breaking news next segment. This is news is just as important.
Go tell that long.
Wait till you see what we cover. Next segment. Alex Jones here back live. Morgan Common is our guest, Facebook insider that chose to come forward with Facebook internal company documents detailing a plan to, quote, curb vaccine hesitancy. It's not even vaccine, it's a GMO thing they've cooked up on a global scale. The stated goal of the feature is to drastically reduce user exposure to vaccine-hesitant comments, like people dying, like the BBC presenter that just died from a blood clot in her brain after she took it. I mean, it's just an everyday occurrence that some famous person dies, and they've pulled a bunch of these vaccines around the world. When you even try to share that fact, they block it. So what is it like for these content moderators, sir, when you see a doctor, you know, talking to a legislature in Florida? And I remember Facebook censored that, and Twitter censored it, and so did YouTube. Or you see congressional hearings where they gave testimony, I remember 6 months ago, about Wuhan Lab being probably where it came from, and I remember seeing where YouTube took that down. It's not just Facebook, it's Google, sub-companies. I mean, they're all doing it where now legislature testimony we can't see. I mean, this is outrageous.
Yeah, Alex, it's absolutely outrageous. And these people, to think that they even have the power to do this and totally get away with it is one of the things that really, rubs me the wrong way, where they're like, yeah, you know, this is totally normal and we're going to do this and you're not going to ask any questions. You're just going to keep going. And as long as we let you have your Facebook and your Instagram, then you'll say okay.
Well, I would expect more people to go public, and whistleblowers are watching. I know that Project Veritas is a great network, and they've been helping whistleblowers that come forward get other jobs, get support up front, because it's hard to lose your job, but it's even harder to be part of an evil organization without giving away any other employees or coworkers that also had similar thoughts, because, you know, the Facebook folks are spying on you and watching us right now. But what was the sense of other people around you? Were they concerned, or were you more like Winston Smith in 1984, the Ministry of Truth, just keeping it to yourself?
Other people were absolutely concerned. I had many, many conversations with many different people on this, both on the internal platform and in person. And yeah, people are very concerned about this. You know, they're concerned that Facebook even cares what your personal medical choices are and that they would moderate your content based on that. And they also don't get, you know, like what's the big deal? Like what's the whole thing behind this? But you know what? They never get a straight answer. Never get a straight answer on that. And I think that's one of the things where people, even if they don't know a lot about the vaccines and the efficacy and, you know, all the hubbub, at least when they see, well, why can't we talk about it? That's a huge red flag, even to the average person, I think.
And again, you have the Microsoft president saying AI is 1984 when it censors and controls you. Is it the act of censoring somebody even before it's posted, which I see is in the report about you and others, that you and others said we have to do something because they're even suppressing stuff before it ever makes it on the platform?
Yeah. They'll suppress things before it even makes it to your page. And they'll actually also suppress recommendations if content is found to be
vaccine hesitant, they'll make it so that it can't even be recommended to other people. So they're absolutely trying to stifle the spread. They're trying to stifle the free speech. And honestly, like I said, this vaccine hesitancy thing is just, you know, small change compared to what this model could be applied to, which is literally anything. They could apply this to any topic they want on their platform.
So we think about Iran as a threat, and I agree there, it's a threat. And we think about Russia could be a threat. China definitely is a major threat to America. But if we become and let companies become far worse than even they are, then we've already lost the war of our own choosing. We've already run up the white flag to evil.
Yeah, it's the arrogance of the human intellect. You know, we think that we are so great and we discover these and create these technological marvels. And then we say, yes, we can control this. And we know everything about this in and out. And, you know, people don't even think about the fact that, well, maybe we don't know this. Maybe we're playing with fire.
Well, look, if my wife posts a photo of me on my birthday and it gets 20,000 likes, Twitter takes it down. I remember a couple of years ago when I said Biden's got cognitive problems, probably had another stroke. It's just speculation. Most doctors agree with me at the time. A bunch of them, you know, that were questioned said, it looks like he has had another stroke. We know he had major brain surgery, you know, 20 years ago, almost died. And Facebook came out and said, Jones is in a special area of dangerous persons. And so you may not mention him unless it's negative. And then they went on to say, but it's okay to organize violence against him. Did you see that?
Oh yeah, and you know, and this is classic Facebook behavior. They're just going to say, well, they won't give you a straight answer. They say, well, he's being harmful, or he's doing this and doing that, and we're doing this in your best interest. But isn't that what all, you know, people who are you know, con artists, isn't that what they always say? We're doing this in your best interest. This is for you. When really, if you look behind the scenes, it's like, okay, then well, why can't I have the information? Why didn't you make this public? If this is my profile and my data, and they even have a feature where you can download the data they have on you, allegedly, all the data. Then why can't we see it? And they won't answer that question. And I think we all know why.
Well, the left wants to take over Facebook to control it. And so Facebook went ahead and just gave them control so that Congress wouldn't do it officially. And I think that's an even more dangerous perfect storm. What do you think should be done to Facebook? I mean, broken up into what, six different parts? Or
this is what I think. I don't think there should be government regulation, because I think that has the same potential to get out of hand as Facebook's power that they have now. I think what should happen is we need to rise up as individuals to say, we are not going to use Facebook because this is it. This is how it's going to be, because you are their product. And so if you get up and walk out and say, I'm not using it anymore, because unless you guys tell me exactly what's going on with my content that I post on your platform, I'm not doing it anymore. I don't think government regulation is going to help. I don't think trying to get other companies involved is going to help that much ultimately, because there's too much of a vested interest. It's too powerful of a tool. But people like us as individuals on an individual level, we can't control that like, you know, a corporate board can. And so we can say, I'm not using it.
Well, sir, all I can say is I'm impressed with what you've done. You are a hero. In the beginning, when a patriot is a scarce man, he's hated, feared, and scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. Well, you're doing this way before the avalanche happens against tyranny. But we're looking for that avalanche. We're looking for that chain reaction. We're looking for that huge wake-up call, and you're right. It's going to happen with the people. In 1984, it's going to happen with the proles. It's going to happen when the common person has a revolution of the mind and realizes that they've been made the product, that they're being dehumanized through that process, and take control of their identity and themselves again, and realize you wouldn't let your wife or husband know all this about you that Facebook knows. You wouldn't let your wife or husband or your boss know any of the stuff that Google knows about you, or your smart TV or your iPhone. Why did we let ourselves ever get in this position?
I think that if you look at the old movie The Network, there's a speech in that movie by the main anchor, and he says, you know, as long as you just leave me alone with my steel-belted radio and my TV and my toaster, and I won't say anything, and I'll be quiet, and I won't do anything. And I think, you know, that's a position that a lot of people take, and I don't blame them for that. There's a lot of risk to coming out here, but at the same time, it's, you know, weigh the risk and weigh the benefit. Would you rather live your life as essentially a slave in all ways but the most obvious? Or would you rather stand up for what's right and be able to say, I don't care how my life was, even if I was destitute until the day I died, I did the right thing, and I can be comfortable knowing I did the right thing.
And that attitude builds a beautiful civilization. The one of groveling builds a total tyranny. Morgan.
Well, that was Morgan Coleman on Alex. And coming up next is some really, really insightful opinions, factual based, by Mark Levine, with Sean Hannity. So here we go next with Mark Levine on Sean Hannity's program.
So now more than ever, the U.S. needs a strong, forceful, clear-thinking leader who is able, willing, and committed to defending our great American way of life and willing to stand up to the hostile regimes, America's interests in a world stage, no matter what. Unfortunately, Sippy Cup Joe, he's obviously not that leader. He can't even stand up to the extreme destructive force of forces inside his own party. Here with a little message to Joe Sippy Cup. He's asleep right now. Maybe you'll hear about it tomorrow with reaction. He has his brand new book out. You see that book? That book will be the way out of this mess called American Marxism. The host of Life, Liberty, and Levin, the number one show here on Sunday night on the Fox News Channel. I understand, Mr. Levin, that you have a message for Sippy Cup.
You know, Sean, there's a couple things I want to say to Mr. Sippy Cup. Number one, he is the human pandemic I said he is. I want to address something very specifically to Joe Biden and his party. This poison of anti-Semitism is growing in your party, and your silence isn't going to fix it. Tlaib, who in my opinion is an out-of-the-closet anti-Semite, and she's joined by 20 or 30 others of the hard Marxist Hamas wing of the Democrat Party. You have Omar and AOC and Presley and Bush. You have Bernie Sanders. I don't care how Bernie Sanders identifies. It's irrelevant. The Democrats in the House of Representatives voted unanimously against sanctioning Hamas last week during the time when Hamas was firing 4,000 missiles into Israel. Now, Joe Biden sees this. He sees on TV individuals with Antifa-like clothing with the Palestinian flag chasing down Jews in cities throughout this country, in cars attacking Jews, organized like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, beating Jews, graffiti on synagogues, including swastikas and so forth. We haven't seen anything like this, and I don't know ever. The FBI says 60% of all anti-religious hate crimes is against Jews. The Jews are a tiny percentage of the population. What did Chuck Schumer say about this, who's Jewish from New York? I didn't hear him say anything. If he said anything, he did it under his breath. What did the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, say about it? I didn't hear her say anything. If she did, it was under her breath. Joe Biden had to be lobbied by liberal Jewish groups to do something on Friday, and finally Saturday he put out a statement. What did the Attorney General say? Nothing that I'm aware of. How about the Cabinet Secretary that runs Homeland Security? What did he say? Nothing that I heard of. How about the FBI Director who says white supremacy is the great danger in this country? Is he blind to what's taking place? No, this is frightening, and it's happening all over the world, but to be happening in the United States of America is absolutely appalling. And I blame the Democrat Party, because the Democrat Party is stirring this stuff up. You have members in the Democrat Party that are tweeting things and putting things on Facebook that are absolutely bigoted and anti-Semitic about Israel and the Jews. It's a tiny little country. It's the only Jewish state on the face of the earth. And Arabs in Israel have more liberties, more due process rights, more property rights, more legal rights than Jews do in any country, in any Muslim or Arab society, which means they have none. So this is quite appalling to me. And at the same time this is going on, you have Democrats embracing Black Lives Matter, which is a hate America, Marxist, anarchist, violent organization that also is anti-Semitic and backs the BDS movement. And we have Democrat mayors across this country painting Black Lives Matter, not Black Lives Matter, the group Black Lives Matter on their streets and promoting it. You have corporations embracing them. You have LeBron James and sports stars, ESPN sportscasters embracing it. It is a disgusting, appalling thing that's going on in this country right now. And in the media, the New York Times and the Washington Post, both of which did the best they could to censor the Holocaust, this is the best they can do to make light of this, to defend Black Lives Matter and pretend these sorts of things aren't going on. This is a shocking event that's taking place. So I wanted to say to Joe Biden, What the hell are you going to do about this? Our prior president, Donald Trump, was a strong supporter against anti-Semitism. Against anti-Semitism, a strong supporter of the Jewish community. And what's going on in this country is a disgusting disgrace that we've allowed these Marxist leftists and others to do what they're doing, pushing critical race theory, another racist theory. Joe Biden is funding critical race theory to go into our classrooms. This is separatist, nationalist, Black Panther 1960s crap that they're trying to put into the minds of our children. What the hell's going on in this country with that party? Now, I want to save a minute or two for my dear friend President Trump. This Democrat Party adopts the worst policies the world has ever seen. They're acting like the Soviet Communist Party in the city of New York and the state of New York, where they go after politicians and former officials they don't agree with. Here's tonight's headline. New grand jury seated for next stage of Trump investigation. Trump investigation? Donald Trump is a multi-billionaire. He has multiple corporations. So what are they trying to do to Donald Trump? They're digging into his tax returns. They're threatening his longtime financial officer. They're going after his son and the divorce that took place with his former wife. They're interrogating them. They're trying to pressure them to do anything they can to find a gift tax violation, to find some other tax violation. The feds already investigated Trump. Clean. Now the politicians, the Democrat Party in New York and the state. You have an attorney general who's a complete hack, Letitia James. She came into office saying she was going to go after Trump. You have this Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance, who's a real punk, a political hack, who's done a lot of things that are highly questionable. And I want the American people to understand they're trying to drag this president, our president, Trump, in front of this grand jury, a Democrat party, Democrat city, Democrat state, to find something, anything that they can use against him, because they don't want him to run for office again, and they are trying to destroy him. Joseph Stalin would be very proud of you Democrats in New York. I must say, I'm disgusted with the Democrat Party, and I am disgusted with these hacks in New York. And that is it.
Great one, Mark Levin. See that book, American Marxism.
Mark Levin hits it hard, and right down, man, I'll tell you. Coming up is Laura Ingram, and she's telling us all about the involvement of the Wuhan lab over in China. And that we know this virus came out of there. Nobody knows that. Alex Jones added that over a year ago with Francis Boyle. So here we go next with Laura Ingram going real public with this now. Here we go next.
What happened at the Wuhan lab in 2019 and our own government's support of controversial research there may be the tipping point for China and its American collaborators, of which there are many. Now, Fox News confirmed this week that the Biden administration quashed an ongoing investigation into the virus's origins earlier this year. Now, it had been initiated by the Trump State Department, Mike Pompeo, but sources CNN are telling CNN that the evidence for undertaking it supposedly wasn't solid enough and relied on cherry-picked facts. Now, if that were true, then why didn't the Biden administration say as much at the time and then launch its own investigation? Or is a virus that killed more than 500,000 Americans and cost trillions of dollars suddenly not worth investigating, not a big enough deal? Or is Biden's team afraid of what a real investigation and an unbiased review of intel would actually reveal? Namely, that China was culpable and that, as Trump said last spring, the virus escaped from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. But instead, while Democrats like Biden let the wet market lie percolate, China denied any role, deflected blame, and of course watched the political fallout hit President Trump. The cold truth is this. The Democrats helped the CCP by calling legitimate questions about COVID's origins conspiracies, all done to hurt Trump. And they will never live that down because it makes them egregious China enablers. Yet none of this would have been possible without their co-conspirators in the press. Because while the CCP was busy destroying documents and eliminating witnesses, CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, etc., they all looked the other way, and then they helped Biden, Pelosi, and Schumer smear President Trump and the rest of us who were pushing for answers. Now, the CCP, they didn't want Trump calling it the China virus or the Wuhan flu, and then the press jumped in to promptly help them.
Saying, quote, the Chinese spawned and weaponized the virus. This is crazy racist talk.
Wow, okay. Well, racist conspiracy theories are nothing new for the Trump administration.
It is racist, Donald Trump, so stop using it. He wants to avoid accountability for his catastrophic response to this epidemic. So he's doing everything he can to try to push that responsibility away and blame it on somebody else.
And when it came to the lab leak itself, I think this now retracted article from PolitiFact says it all. The claim is inaccurate and ridiculous. We rate it pants on fire. Of course, this narrative came crashing down after 18 prominent scientists, including one of the researchers who worked with Wuhan virologists, published a letter in the journal Science calling the lab leak theory viable. Now, this caught the attention of several real journalists like science writer Nicholas Wade, who then berated everyone who wrote off the lab leak theory in the first place. Despite this massive embarrassment, the media are still pointing fingers at Trump.
I think the messenger matters. I think during that time when that theory started to be told, it was buried in an administration and a former president who often kind of troped in kind of racist terms and dog whistle.
Then President Trump and Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, both suggested they had seen evidence that this was formed in a lab. They refused to release the evidence showing what it was. That made this instantly political.
Nice try. Not releasing intelligence while they were in the middle of an investigation is instantly political, but halting the investigation into the pandemic's origins is somehow not political? The fact is, this story is a ticking time bomb for Democrats and the public health experts who became viral celebrities. Even the Washington Post felt to raise the unthinkable now that the lab leak theory is reality. This also has huge implications for two other players who are more relevant right now, President Biden and the scientific community. Well, I'd add another obvious player whose credibility is on the line here, the intel community. How on earth did they miss this? Or, wait, maybe they were still too busy trying to validate that phony dossier story or covering up for Hunter Biden. Or maybe, just maybe, they had no interest in pursuing any line of inquiry that made Trump seem prescient or an investigation that maybe could stoke anti-China sentiment in the U.S. Remember, they're more interested in fighting white supremacism, which they think is a far greater threat to America, than an evil dictatorship that loosed a virus on the world and then lied about it. On top of that, it's an open question as to whether the Dems who control the House Intel Committee will actually give us the truth, not just because Adam Schiff is their leader, but also because his main henchman, Eric Swalwell, is compromised by a Chinese spy. Let's not forget that story. And even though the Senate did unanimously finally vote to declassify all the intel on the COVID's origins, they did that today, it is not clear if Biden will actually live up to that.
Will you pledge to release the report in full after 90 days?
Yes, that's, unless there's something I'm unaware of.
Well, first of all, there's a lot he's unaware of, but it certainly sounds like this could end up being something that could blow up his soft on China agenda. That might be what comes up. So if the lab leak theory does turn out to be true, Biden will actually have to get tough on China, or he's going to have to suffer the consequences from the voters at home. Biden would be forced to choose between voters and pleasing his donor base in big business, big tech, and Wall Street. And based on the Biden approach to China, his current approach to China, it's pretty obvious that he puts multinationals over the middle class.
In my discussion with President Xi, I told him, we welcome the competition. We're not looking for conflict.
We're not trying to contain China or hold it back.
We have big disagreements with China on some key issues, absolutely. But climate has to stand alone.
Republicans on the Hill must demand full and unfettered access to all available intel on this issue. People like Senator Tom Cotton must have every chance to meet directly with the analysts in the intel community who looked over this data and also hear and see for himself and all of the senators on the committee what the U.S. government actually knows. And as for Team Fauci, well, they shredded their credibility long ago by rejecting the actual science on COVID and pushing insane lockdowns and mask mandates. Remember when they were obsessed with hydroxychloroquine? Well, Fauci was also an unabashed defender of China, including back in February of 2020 on this show. Why should we actually believe them when billions, if not trillions of dollars, is riding on preserving the idea that all is going to be okay?
Over the last several weeks, the Chinese authorities have really been very explicit that they were going to not tolerate any misinformation going out.
So you're satisfied with all of the transparency coming out of China today about the trajectory of the disease and the origin of the disease?
In my direct interaction with Chinese scientists, I can believe what they're telling me.
Now it's clear why Fauci was so adamant that everything from the Chinese was above board. He stands to get crushed if it turns out that taxpayer dollars that he helped funnel to the Wuhan Institute of Virology in any way played a role in this pandemic.
You gave them money and you said, don't do gain-of-function research.
Correct.
And they said, we won't.
Correct.
And you have no way of knowing whether they did or not, except you trust them. Is that right?
Well, we generally always trust the grantee to do what they say.
How do you know they didn't do the research and not put it on their website?
There's no way of guaranteeing that.
Let's write them another check. Why not? Let's roll the dice. Well, this is exactly why the GOP has to press Fauci, the NIH, and all other parties involved in this gain-of-function money laundering scheme. The more the lies and distractions from China's useful idiots in the U.S. are exposed, the greater the chance that Republicans have of retaking Congress in 2022 and of retaking the White House in 2024. Right now, that seems like the only way we're actually going to get real, trustworthy answers about the origins of COVID. And we need those answers. And that's the angle.
Nigel Farage closes out this program. So good night and God bless each and every one of you.
In February in 1964, a group of mop top singers made their American debut on the Ed Sullivan Show, and Beatlemania was born. In April 2021, history struck again as Nigel Farage began his America's Comeback Tour. The Brexit leader joins us now. So, Nigel, welcome to America. Here's what I'm looking at. In the UK, I'm seeing where, former allies of Boris Johnson piling on, this sort of anti-Johnson. Of course, there's an overall sense that maybe this sort of people's revolution, this populist movement that we saw over the last few years around the world, of course, sparked by Brexit and the election of President Trump, could be fading, could be peaking. Is that the case?
No, not one bit. I mean, look, 16, we had the Brexit result, and I think that fed in very directly to Americans going out and voting for Donald Trump, believing that actually the establishment could be beaten. We, nearly three years after that vote, we found ourselves without Brexit. The date we were due to leave by British law was just frankly ignored. And many said the populist revolt was over. People didn't know what they voted for. Brexit would never happen. And we launched a grassroots revolt back against the establishment, which I was very proud to leave. And now we have Brexit. We're out. We're free. The deal may not be perfect, but it's a lot better than it was before. And here's the thing. 70% approval rating now for Brexit, 70%. And the rest of Europe is looking at that too. Into the bargain, our Labour Party, which had always been a patriotic left of centre party, became a globalist party, opposed to Brexit, wholly unconcerned by open borders and mass legal and illegal immigration. And then the final kicker, the Labour Party became the party of cancel culture, which means that what you do is you eradicate your nation's history and teach your children in schools. They should be ashamed of who they are. And do you know what's happened? I'll tell you what's happened, Charles. Working class Britain in their millions feel alienated by the new socialist internationalist Labour Party. They deserted it, and socialism is now dead on the floor. It won't come back for decades, I promise you. And the reason I came to America to come on this speaking tour is I know that lots of American conservatives have virtually been in mourning for the last 6 months about the situation here. And I've come to say, we looked down and out in the spring of 19. We've now achieved some amazing things. And you in the midterms can do the same, because the Democrats are making exactly the same mistakes, moving to the left and alienating many of their own people.
You know, I remember even when this was working up, the Brexit movement, it was cast as a racist movement, as a xenophobic movement. And what I thought was really interesting is, you know, my son goes to a college in London. I spend time over there. When I talk to people, they were like, listen, we're not, you just mentioned, it wasn't even about necessarily just illegal immigration. It was the legal immigration under this European thing that allowed cheap labor that was pushing hardworking blue collar workers out of the workforce. So, you know, this is something that goes on around the world, and I don't think that problem's going to go away. And I do agree. I think this notion of doubling down on the name calling, you know, the race, everything is racist, is a bad move on their part. And I think they're going to drift even further away from the center. But what do you make of where we are right now, particularly in Europe? Because I feel like continental Europe now is running to the warm embrace of China, taking that easy Belt and Road money. And I think they're making a bigger mistake.
Well, look, I'm worried about China. You know, even Brexit Britain isn't completely free of China, because, of course, the influence of China, the influence of that party, the Communist Party, and their money is all too great. You're right. I mean, Italy in particular has turned towards China in many, many ways, hoping that they'll be their saviour. But I'll tell you this. The overall European project itself, now they see that Britain's doing well with Brexit, I don't believe that this globalist project will even exist in 10 years' time. I don't believe the Dems will stay in power in America. And I think what you'll see is the election of the Biden administration actually is the short-term blip. The populist movement has got a lot further to run. We're beating globalism. We now have to find out and work out how to beat Chinese communism. And Charles, to me, in the end, it's all about us as consumers. If we stop buying Chinese-made products and are prepared to pay a little bit more for homemade products, we can stop the inexorable rise of China.
Yeah. I say that make the connection to homemade products and American jobs over and over and over again. Same thing in the UK. Make that connection, and people will probably say, I'll pay a few bucks extra so my neighbor has a job and we have security. Nigel, great seeing you, my friend. It's been far too long.
Thank you, Charles.
Thank everyone out there for listening. This is George Butler saying good night. We're going to close with our normal song, Light a Little Candle. And we love each and every one of you out there, and we really care about what's going on in this country. So that's why we put up this program weekly still. But we've got the best clips that we could find. Thank you and good night. God bless each and every one of you. Bye-bye.